Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning, Doug McSwain and Sally Schultz with the Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team, taking on the challenge of dealing with mental illness in Smith County. Good morning. Great to have you with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/infocus, and don't forget that In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Doug, Behavioral Health Leadership Team has been up and going, I guess, for almost 6 years now. It started in 2015. We've had you on the show along with your wife, Mo, in the past, probably two or three times. And it's always interesting to learn about how mental health is being dealt with in Smith County, how you've worked to take it to another level, and how you've pulled all the mental health resources together and continue to do so in the county to address this issue that is still a challenge, but unfortunately, we still have a long way to go as far as really dealing with it effectively. Let's go ahead and get a recap and an update. How did everything get started, and what are you all about as a behavioral health leadership team?
Yeah, John, thank you for asking. You know, the our son, Patrick, as everybody knows, pretty much had schizophrenia, and we lived with that diagnosis and his disease for a number of years. And for those of the listeners that don't know, you know, Patrick died in 2012. Mm-hmm. As a result of that, you know, I was praying and asking the Lord for what we should do, because most people go isolated when they have a loved one with mental illness, or they have mental illness themselves, and they don't know where to go, and there's not a big availability of resources. So we found that out as we went through our journey with Patrick. As a result of not having resources, Mo and I felt the Lord's leading to begin to bring all these collaborations together. In other words, bring everybody that deals with mental health services into the same room and work together to get things done. In other words, moving past the silo effect where everybody focuses on their own little piece of the pie, except now we want to get it to where everybody's focusing on the entire pie and can do their part.
Mm-hmm. Before we go any further, I want to talk a little bit about Sally Schultz. Sally, you're joining us for the first time, and we'll be talking to you a little bit later on about a very special project that this Behavioral Health Leadership Team has up and going. But basically, Sally, you're very much involved with BHLT. As we'll call it acronym-wise, a licensed mental health provider since 1984, been in Tyler since 2011, and you pretty much hit the ground running. So that's why Sally's joining us today. And Sally, just hang on. We'll get to you, and we'll have a lot more to hear from you in just a few more minutes. But in the meantime, Doug, go ahead with your story and how things started and how they've progressed with the Behavioral Health Leadership Team.
Yes. So the story continues. Everybody was contacted. And I work as an attorney, and at my office, we had the first meeting. And it was actually the first time that all these different organizations were together in the mm-hmm. same room. I mean, honestly, I was kind of going, wow. Anyway, they saw the benefits of collaboration. And we're talking about the BHLT being composed of, like, city representatives, county representatives, mm-hmm. representatives from nonprofits. You know, virtually, if you look around the community, if somebody has a duty in regards to mental health services and helping in mental health, they eventually all came into the same room under the umbrella of what we call the Behavioral Health Leadership Team, or BHLT for short. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing to see its growth and progress as we've collaborated as a group to try to improve the delivery of mental health services to our community.
You bet. And Doug, we're going to have you continue in just a moment. Right now, a quick reminder, this is In Focus. I'm John Sims, Doug McSwain, and Sally Schultz with the Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team, our guests this morning. And I want to quickly give out some contact information. You need to know whom to get in touch with and how to reach him and how to get more information. The website is smithbhlt.org. That's smithbhlt.org. And you're now under the auspices of EATHN, the East Texas Human Needs Network, which is headed up by Christina Folsom. And you can reach Christina for any general information about the Behavioral Health Leadership Team. Her phone number is 903-216-3211. That's 903-216-3211. There's also a contact form on the website. You can use that as well. That's smithbhlt.org. And you're on Facebook, too. So that's always a plus. Anyway, Doug, we'll repeat that off and on during the show, but continue. Lots to talk about this morning.
Yes. So, you know, as the BHLT began to progress, I mean, we began to work as a group to try to change things, to try to improve things. And it's been amazing to see the effect of that. You know, when we started the BHLT, we had like 12 representatives. And we call voting members stakeholders. We're now up to 42 stakeholders, which means a group represented by a person within the group. We've got, you know, 42 or above stakeholders, but our meetings have been public, and now we have meetings to where anybody can attend. Anybody can participate, and we're up to about 80 to sometimes 100 that attend the Smith County BHLT meetings.
To me, this speaks to the seriousness with which people are taking mental health issues. Not that many years ago, it was something that was not talked about by a lot of people. There were resources, but they were limited resources. And I think really nationwide and even on an international level, people are starting to take this whole issue a lot more seriously. And it seems to me that it's really being reflected by the growth and success of this group. I want to talk now about you've talked about the collaborations. You've got local governments, nonprofits, the different agencies in the community that deal with mental health on their own are all tied in one way or another. And you can see the partners on the website, by the way, get a better idea of actually who all's involved. But one of the things that you're really focused on right now is a major grant to establish assisted outpatient treatment courts. And I understand County Judge Nathaniel Moran has been a key player in all of this.
Judge Moran's been great. I'm telling you, he's been a godsend. But the assisted outpatient treatment courts are what's known as AOT for short manner. Take somebody that's a frequent flyer. Let me explain what I mean. Frequent flyer is somebody with mental illness and will do something while they're in the throes of their psychosis, like trespass on somebody else's yard. And the police will be called. Well, the police have one of two options. They can either take that person to the jail, and if they take them to the jail, the police officer can deliver them to the jail and then go back doing their work. You know, or they can take them to a treatment center, you know, like UT North, but they have to stay there the whole time while the person's in the ER. So one of the ways to solve that problem is what we call a one-stop facility. In other words, a treatment center located, you know, within Smith County, close to the jail, where the police can take that person suffering in mental illness, and rather than confining him in a jail, they put him into a facility where that person will get treatment. And you know, its success rate is astounding. Like 74% of those that enter the AOT program end up becoming productive citizens. And so the assisted outpatient treatment court is amazing. And, you know, through the collaborative efforts of the BHLT, we received a major grant from SAMHSA. You know, substance abuse and mental health services to establish and run our AOT courts. And it's currently being run under the auspices of the Andrews Center. And importantly, for somebody who's got a loved one that goes in and out of the jail on a frequent with, you know, small misdemeanors and things like that, they should be aware of this program because the assisted outpatient treatment courts take the black robe effect. That is a judge taking personal interest in that person and then making sure they take their medications, they get tested to make sure they're not on any other type of substance that's not productive for them. And the judge then guides them through the program, including psychiatric services or psychological services, you know, helps them find a job in the community. And it's a wonderful program because once somebody with mental illness, so to speak, seeks help, they find help through that program.
Very good. This is In Focus. I'm John Sims, and our guests this morning are Sally Schultz and Doug McSwain with the Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team. That website, smithbhlt.org. They're on Facebook, and it's under the auspices of the East Texas Human Needs Network now, since I believe last October, and you can reach Christina Folsom for more information with the East Texas Human Needs Network or Ethan at 903-216-3211. There's also some contact information on the website. I want to move through this fairly quickly. We have a lot of ground to cover today, and I want to jump ahead to the Peace of Mind Conference, which has been held every year since, I believe, about 2014. I've attended several of these myself, and they're just fascinating and very educational conferences. Last year, I believe you held it on Zoom, and I believe you had quite a bit of success with that, all things considered. COVID-19, of course, being an ongoing factor in everything that's happening these days, unfortunately. But right now, looking at this coming October for another one?
Well, yes. And the entity that guides Peace of Mind and puts it on is the Samaritan Counseling Center, who have been great. And we've had a partnership with them for quite a while since Peace of Mind has been going on. And they continue to do the Peace of Mind. Of course, it's been hampered, and that's why we're on Zoom, by COVID. But we anticipate another one in October.
Okay, and great help, you say, and I certainly agree on a personal level, in informing and educating East Texas about how severe the mental illness problem is. There have been some great guests that have come in. The attendance has been phenomenal. It's another testament, I think, to the way the community has responded to this really, really serious problem. One of the things we also want to touch on, faith-based efforts started by pastors in East Texas, and you pinpoint Kim Beckham at Central Baptist Church. I know Kim personally, have for years. Great guy, very much involved in the community. He's not the only one. But tell us about some of the things that are happening within the religious community, pastors, other religious leaders getting involved and really working to help you get the word out about this issue and just help people who are affected by it.
Yeah, one of the initial things, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and, you know, interestingly to me, when we were working with our son with mental illness, one of the problems we found is people would think, you can just pray your way out of it. You know, you're not praying hard enough, or you're not doing this hard enough, and fail to realize that mental illness is a disease. It's a documented disease of the brain.
Yeah.
You can go in, and when somebody's in a psychotic episode, you will see that portions of their brain are lit up yellow. And that's because it's working overtime. So somebody with a different disease has an imbalance of the dopamine, serotonin levels in their brain. As a result, the brain responds by creating hallucinations, and their world to them is real.
Yes.
I mean, we as real as our world is to us. So that's been one of the great things of Peace of Mind, is we've brought in speakers who educate the community about mental disease. More importantly, they talk about how prevalent it is. I mean, one in four persons in East Texas have a mental illness. When you add on the families that are involved, that are dealing with this, with the loved one who has a mental illness, we're talking about, you know, nearly 70% of our community affected in some way by mental illness.
Yeah. So basically, Kim and others like him are working to educate ministry leaders about mental illness and provide biblically based efforts to help. Is that what it really comes down
exactly.
to?
Exactly. Kim's been great. They've gotten a curriculum that pastors can see and read that help them, because pastors are the first line that people go to. When they're having problems, they go to their pastor. And the pastor now is equipped with that curriculum to be able to appropriately guide them through this struggle.
Okay. In Focus is the show. I'm John Sims. Our guests this morning, Doug McSwain and Sally Schultz with the Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team. Website is smithbhlt.org. Phone number via East Texas Human Needs Network, 903-216-3211. Any questions, general questions about what's going on with the Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team? Those are the contact points that you're going to need. And I'm going to talk about membership and how people can get involved in just a little while here. But all that's on the website as well. One more thing we want to touch on before we move it over to Sally, and then we'll kind of wrap it up with some of the other information, Doug, that you want to get out there. UT Health North, or UT Health Science Center at Tyler on Highway 271, with their adult services and the need for juvenile programs. I know that's something that's really important in your work.
Yeah, if you'll remember, there used to be a facility out on University, the Behavioral Health Center, that was managed by UT. Because of different circumstances, that facility closed. But UT North and Dr. Calhoun and those there are doing meeting this crisis as best they can. And so there are, you know, different programs out there, the adult services that you can call and contact them to find out about. And what we really need, and they're looking into it, is juvenile resources, a juvenile program, because typically mental illness presents itself when somebody is in their early teens. That's right. Atypical. And so if you can catch it, the earlier you catch it, the better the chances are of successful treatment. And so we need a juvenile resource to where, you know, we can see treatment. And so all that's a specific need that all the hospital systems are trying to address.
Okay. All right, very good. We're going to move it over to Sally now. Sally Schultz, our other guest this morning on In Focus. Again, welcome, Sally. And the specific thing that's going on right now that we really want to focus on for the next few minutes is something called the Clubhouse. I know this has been in the works for a pretty good while, but again, Sally, you've been in Tyler since, you've been a licensed mental health provider since 84, moved to Tyler in 2011, and by then you are already familiar with the Clubhouse model. And why don't we talk a little bit about that? And it actually goes back a pretty good ways, about 72 years, believe it or not, but how it works and how you're working to get that implemented in Tyler and Smith County. A reminder that you're listening to In Focus. I'm John Sims. Our guests this morning, Doug McSwain and Sally Schultz with the Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team, a way of pulling all the mental health resources in Smith County together and making them work even better. And Sally, the Clubhouse model, very interesting concept. Started in 1948, and there are about 200 clubhouses in the country right now. Is there one in Smith County at the moment?
There is not a clubhouse in Smith County at the moment, but we're hoping there will be. We are in the startup phase, and we have a board now that includes myself and Doug McSwain, Rita Fryer, Dr. Paul Wick, Linda Oyer, and Kara Camp. We received our IRS tax exemption status on December 21st of 2020. And most importantly right now, we are looking for a physical location. We need a space about 1,500 square feet.
Okay.
So I just put that out there for everybody to know that we are looking for some assistance with finding a space that we can use. The SmithBHLT.org website includes more information about the clubhouse. Clubhouse was literally a project of the BHLT and birthed from through the avenue of the BHLT. The website has several videos on it that show what goes on in a clubhouse in different parts of the country. And the clubhouse model began in New York at a psychiatric hospital. About six of the patients there started meeting in the hospital club room. They saw they could help each other. When discharged, they continued to meet on the steps of a library. Donors made a house available for gatherings, and many more members joined. The first clubhouse opened in New York City in 1948. The clubhouse model is a therapeutic program focused on engaging members in meaningful and productive activity. In a clubhouse, there are no patients, consumers, clients, or therapists in the clubhouse. There are only members and a few staff. Clubhouses don't do any contract work. Members of the clubhouse actually serve as volunteers. They have shared work teams to do the work of the clubhouse side by side with staff. I would say that members literally run the clubhouse. And the clubhouse has no time limits. There are no fees. Once a member, always a member. Clubhouse programs have excellent results. There's an annual survey of Texas clubhouses that show 80% of the members reported improved social life as a result of being a member of a clubhouse. 85% reported improved life skills as a result of being a clubhouse member. 75% reported needed fewer hospitalizations.
Let me just jump in here for a moment and remind everyone you're listening to In Focus. I'm John Sims, Doug McSwain, Sally Schultz, our guests with the Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team. And Sally, just go ahead and sorry to have interrupted. Keep going.
Thank you, John. There's another factor that's really important in our data set. The clubhouse members have significantly fewer encounters with law enforcement. Than individuals with mental illness who are not a clubhouse member. Another real plus about the clubhouse is it is very cost effective when you compare that to other settings. The private psychiatric hospital nationally averages around $2,000 a day. County jail, $200 a day. A community adult daycare center, $240 a day. Clubhouse, $50 a day.
A money saver then.
It is indeed. We anticipate opening the clubhouse to a small group of members in the late spring, April, May of 2021. I want to share with you that Linda Oyer and I spent 2 days at the San Antonio clubhouse.
Okay, and Linda is someone who's been involved in nonprofit and mental health work in Smith County probably for decades, just for anyone who's not familiar with that name.
Yes, she has. Yeah. She is the CEO of the East Texas Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse.
Oh, okay.
So she and I partnered on this project to help bring a clubhouse into Tyler. So we spent 2 days there. The members were eager to talk with us and tell their story, how Clubhouse had affected them. Several stated, "Without Clubhouse, I wouldn't be alive. Clubhouse saved my life." I've worked for private hospitals and state hospitals. The programs were good, but now I know what great is. Lives are truly transformed by the clubhouse model. The time we spent there, it was, if you don't believe in magic, you will when you see a clubhouse that's up and running.
Okay. So basically, we're talking about a concept where people who have mental illness interact with one another, try and bring out the best in one another, and just... I'm hearing not a lack, but a relative absence of professionals. It's just people with mental illness getting together on their own and talking and sharing and becoming stronger and getting themselves on the road to becoming more productive members of society. Does that pretty well sum it up?
Definitely. And it is that shared work. The work is done in teams.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the potential for that individual who is reluctant to get engaged, to sit and observe, and then see that it's a safe and welcoming place.
Mm-hmm.
And that the teamwork is designed to open the door for that person.
All right.
When they have had so much loss in their life, they have lost skills, lost relationships, and this gives them the understanding that there is a point at which they can begin to reclaim a life that was seriously interrupted by their illness.
Okay, Sally, I think that pretty well sums it up and gives people the basic information they're going to need. I understand there's a phone number they can call separate from the East Texas Human Needs Network phone number for more information about the clubhouse and getting it up and going in Smith County. I believe that's 903-952-0893, 903-952-0893. And if this is a model that sounds like it'll work for you, that would be the number that you would want to call. And come April or May, if all goes as planned, we'll get a better idea of how things are going and how it's going to work here in Smith County. It sounds like you already have a lot of support for it and that you're ready to get it up and going and that you should see a pretty good response here within the next 2 or 3, 4 months.
I believe so. And we would welcome phone calls at this point in time.
Okay, 903-952-0893 to learn more about the clubhouse model in Smith County under the auspices of the Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team. A couple of minutes left in the show. Thank you, Sally, very much. And I want to throw it back to Doug for a minute. First of all, membership. If you can briefly explain how that works. Membership in the Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team. I know you have the stakeholder level and also just the general level. Anybody can join. Membership is free.
Yes. And anybody can become a member. Anybody mm-hmm. can. And can attend the meetings. It's a public meeting. They can express their views of things that need to be done. And you know, this is a major thing because people who are dealing with mental illness or their families had nowhere real place to go to.
Mm-hmm.
This gives them a place to go to. They can begin to see things being done. They can talk to city, county representatives, nonprofit representatives, you know, virtually the community. They mm-hmm. can talk to them. And it's just been a tremendous help to them.
All righty. And you have meetings on Zoom, I believe, the fourth Thursday of every other month. Next one's going to be January 28th, just a few days down the road. You can get more information from that website, smithbhlt.org. And there's also a financial donation button on your website if you want to help out financially. That's real easy to find. The involvement, just to kind of wrap things up here, the involvement of city, county, and nonprofits in collaborating to improve your delivery of mental illness services and reducing the cost to our community. I know we've touched on this already, but is there anything else you want to add to how that process continues to actually to grow and about how good you feel it is to have all these entities working together?
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Meadows Foundation mm-hmm. was the one that helped us establish this BHLT. They're doing it all across the state. And we were the first of the ones that they helped start this okay. program. And you got to give credit to them. They were great to help us on all this.
Okay, got about a minute left in the show, and I wish we had more time, but there's so much yet to come. And so much on that website. Again, smithbhlt.org is the website for the Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team. it's, I guess, a day at a time. Right now, you're looking ahead to the next meeting. And Sally, I know you're looking, and Doug too, looking forward to getting that clubhouse up and going a little bit later on during the spring. And I'll give that clubhouse number out again one more time, 903-952-0893. But for now, it's been a great show, very informative. And Doug McSwain and Sally Schultz, Smith County Behavioral Health Leadership Team, thanks so much for visiting with us this morning.
Thank you, John, for having us.
A pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. Sally and Doug from the Behavioral Health Leadership Team, our guests this morning. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on In Focus.